Film 4 and Intermedia Films presents, with the participation of British Screen and the Arts Council of England, an Oxford Film Company production, starring Emily Watson, Rachel Griffiths, James Frayne, David Morrissey, Charles Dance, Celia Imrie, Rupert Penry-Jones, and Bill Paterson. A young blonde girl plucks a seashell out of a rock pool and puts it to her ear.
Hello. Yes, I'll get her. Yes, I'll tell her. All right. Bye. I've got a message for you, a secret one.
Her dark-haired sister jumps up and chases her across the sand. The two girls spin each other round.
When I was but 13 or so, I went into a golden land. Kimberozo Cotopaxi took me by the hand!
The blonde girl races after the dark-haired girl over the flat, deserted expanse of sand. They splash through the shimmering remnants of sea, left behind by the ebb of the low tide, and charge over the hilly sand dunes skirted by tufts of thick grass.
Over the Orinoco, across the blazing Kalahari Desert, through the untamed grasslands of the Belt.
They gallop like untethered horses, leaving behind the dunes and out onto the flat sand again. Suddenly they stop and stare at a woman standing at the water's edge, silhouetted against a warm, dusky sky. The blonde girl goes over to the woman, whilst her sister stays put and watches from a distance. After exchanging a few words with the woman, the blonde girl scampers back to her sister.
What is it? What did she say?
The blonde girl whispers in her ear.
What did she say that for? It's all right. I don't mind. Everything's going to be all right.
The two sisters hug each other as tightly as they can. The light wind toys gently with the strands of hair poking out from under their knitted woolen hats. Apart from the mysterious woman, they're alone on the empty beach. Hilary and Jackie. A pink dawn sky hangs over the city of London. The dome of St. Paul's stands out amid the sea of twinkling lights. A middle-aged woman sits in a well-appointed drawing room, writing musical notes with a black fountain pen on blank manuscript paper. She sits back and, with a nod of approval, she folds the manuscript over. The cover is decorated with a boat on water and the words "The Holiday Song." She puts the top on her pen and blows on the card. In a tranquil square, a milkman delivers milk to a large terraced house, whose black front door is framed by an attractive arch of black and white flagstones. The sun gradually spreads through the sisters' bedroom, lighting up the Holiday Song manuscript standing on the cabinet beside the bed of the blonde girl, Jackie. Jackie's first awake. Stretching, she notices the manuscript, sits up and grabs it. She opens it and casts her eyes over the music inside, before looking over at her sister's bed.
Hills, wake up! Mummy's made a new song for us to play.
Jackie runs over to her cello lying on the floor. Hilary follows and picks up a flute off a chair. Jackie takes her bow off the music stand. Hilary places the open manuscript in its place, and the two girls stand poised ready to start. They nod to each other.
B flat, listen.
Now the sisters dance and their mother instructs them.
Big waves, rolling in 3/4 time. And when you hear me change the major chord, I want you to dive down under the sea.
They puff their cheeks out to imitate fish.
Dive down under the waves, little silvery fishes, swimming in and out of the seaweed in 6/8 time. And watch out, here comes the shark!
Their mother tries to catch the girls, her outstretched arms copying the shark's jaws. Over breakfast, she reads a letter.
Dear Mrs. Dupre, we are planning to broadcast a children's performance of the Toy Symphony by...
Haydn.
Very good. We would be delighted if you would conduct and if your daughter Hilary would agree to play the flute part. It's from the BBC.
Jolly good. Jolly good. Well done, Hullabaloo.
What about me?
Well, if you practice hard enough, maybe next time.
But I want to come this time. I want to be with Hilary.
Well, couldn't she just come along for the ride sort of thing?
It's an orchestra, Derek, not a Clapham omnibus. Jackie, that is quite uncalled for. You're spoiling Hilary's special day.
If Jackie can't come, I won't go.
In a recording studio, sound engineers twiddle dials in a booth, whilst Mrs. Dupre conducts a youth orchestra in an adjoining hall. With special pride, she motions for Hilary's turn to play. Jackie sits glumly with a drum on her lap.
Follow the score, don't go up at the soloist.
Jackie puts her drumstick through the drum. Hilary smiles. Afterwards...
I really can't apologise enough.
Oh, not at all. Worth any amount of trouble to get young Hilary. She's really very special.
Yes, I realise that.
Your sister's a remarkable girl. You must be very proud.
Oh, we all are. Terribly proud. Goodbye.
She leads her daughters out through a corridor.
I am never going to go through anything like that again. If you want to be with Hilary, you have to learn to play as well as Hilary. If you want to be together, you've got to be as good as each other. Do you understand?
Yes.
Back at home, Jackie sits in the bedroom hugging the huge cello to her small body, her head rocking quickly with the exertions of her practicing.
Supper's ready.
Around the kitchen table...
So I think we should leave some money on the doorstep for the burglars to take so he wouldn't pop the kill anymore. What do you think?
Staring into space, Jackie fingers invisible strings on her upper right arm with the fingers of her left hand.
All the sounds on the and then I want you to draw me.
In the classroom, Jackie runs her fingers over her ruler in the same way. Now Hilary and Jackie perform together on a small stage in the school hall decorated with balloons. Jackie draws the bow over the strings with broad, sweeping movements, surrendering her whole body to the music.
And the first prize goes to the Dupre sisters, Jacqueline and Hilary. Well done!
They curtsy as they receive their prize. Together, they hold aloft the small silver cup, Jackie stretching to hold it as high as her taller sister. The trophy goes on the bookshelf at home, and is soon joined by many others. Now the family mounts a broad staircase leading to a grand building. Jackie struggles with her big cello case, and her dad helps her.
Shall I take that for you?
Inside, the sisters skip together along a corridor. Both dressed in pretty pink dresses, they unpack their instruments, surrounded by other children doing the same. Jackie sits in the middle of a stage in front of the judges and an expectant audience. She positions her fingers and bow, then raises her head, poised. As she plays, she loses herself to the rapture of the music, eyes closed, her head rocking with every swipe of the bow.
Thank you. In the woodwind category, a very clear winner with the highest number of points ever awarded in this section at this festival. Hilary Dupré.
A man ushers Hilary to the stage. Jackie claps happily. Hilary curtsies as she receives her prize and joins the line of other prize winners, mouthing thank you to one of them. Mr. Dupré winks at her from the audience. Mrs. Dupré beams proudly.
We had no difficulty at all in choosing the winner in the string section, even though we were a little unnerved by the candidate's rather over-emphatic bodily movements. I think this must be the first time that our winning soloists have been sisters.
Jackie's taken aback. Hilary grins delightedly.
The judges were unanimous in choosing Miss Jacqueline Dupré.
She's ushered up to the stage. Hilary smiles and claps. As Jackie receives her prize, the audience jump to their feet. Jackie joins the other prize winners. Her parents join the audience in the standing ovation. Mrs. Dupré waves and Jackie waves back. She begins to smile, overwhelmed by the adulation. Hilary's smile has vanished. She looks over at her sister, then at her proud parents. As the head judge begins to speak again, Hilary runs out and races down the long corridor.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have many more awards, so I'd be grateful if you could all sit down just to...
She takes refuge in a dark, cluttered storeroom. She sits in the corner, head bowed, her hands clamped over her ears. Slowly, she takes her hands away and looks up. A photographer lies in wait as the family descends a staircase. A banner reads Coulsdon and Purley Music Festival. Mrs. Dupré talks to the head judge.
She does move about a bit. She looks like one of these Bobby's Soxer types.
I'm afraid that's my fault. They did a lot of music and movement when they were younger.
Excuse me, can we have a picture, please? Yeah, you too, sir, if possible. That's lovely, yeah? You gave some nice big smiles.
Jackie spots Hilary at the edge of the crowd. Smiling again, Hilary walks through the crowd to join the family.
Is this one of yours too? Does she play?
Oh, yes. Hilary won as well, didn't you, dear?
We can have a family portrait. Right, if you hold your flute up where I can see it, smile in. Your sister's a remarkable girl. You must be very proud.
Oh, yes, we are. Terribly proud.
Smile in.
A family photograph. The two sisters in their proud moment. Now Jackie stands carrying her cello case in the middle of a large drawing room. A man consults Mrs. Dupré in the doorway.
Well then, be good. We'll collect you in an hour. Be good.
Yes.
Mrs. Dupré goes and the man shuts the door behind her. Jackie stands obediently rooted to the spot as the man steps up behind her.
Now, let's see what you can do.
Hilary sits gloomily on the front steps of the house. Her mother emerges and picks up the basket beside her.
An hour today, and then see how we get.
Turning to pick up a blanket, Mrs. Dupré leads her daughter over to a bench in the leafy square opposite the house. She lays out the blanket for Hilary to sit on, and sits herself down on the bench.
Well, now, this is nice.
She gets out sandwiches and a thermos flask. Squinting over at the house, Hilary sinks her teeth into a sandwich but declines some tea. Inside the house, the teacher, cradling his own cello, watches Jackie play.
Lifting that upbeat before the three quavers with an upbow, like so.
A double-decker bus pulls up and the family climbs on.
I like him. He's my cello daddy. I want to come every day. Can I come every day? Do you mind?
But you'll have to get the car.
Boys barge past them as they climb on board. Now another lesson. The teacher watches Jackie closely as she plays and turns the music over for her. Rain pours down. In the back seat of the Dupre's new black car, Hilary gets out her flute and raises it to her lips, but the end knocks against the window. Jackie gets in, Hilary looks down sadly, and they drive off. Another lesson. Mrs. Dupre accompanies on the piano as the teacher duets with Jackie, now a full-grown woman with long blonde hair. As she plays, her body and head rock and sway. Hilary, also fully grown with curly black hair, sits reading a book on the stairs outside the room. Her brother, Piers, joins her, stuffing biscuits into his mouth. Hilary snatches one, and her brother potters away.
That's it. She's ready. Mrs. Dupre, what do you think of a debut recital at the Wigmore Hall?
Marvellous.
I've spoken to Ibs and Tillett. They'll handle the publicity and the tickets. And to Ernest Lush. He'll accompany her on the piano.
Jackie looks at her mother. Mrs. Dupre emerges into the hallway and goes upstairs. She smiles at Jackie, who touches her hand briefly as she passes. In the crowded Wigmore Hall, Jackie plays whilst her sister and mother watch from the wings. Jackie looks round and stands up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm afraid that my A string has come loose and I'm going to have to restring my cello and start again.
She strides off stage.
But at least it wasn't my G-string.
She starts playing again. With a final extravagant flourish of the bow and dramatic drop of the head, Jackie looks up, then stands to bask in the applause from the audience and from her family in the wings.
I think we should keep that head still.
Backstage.
Looks so flamboyant, all that hair flying about the place.
Spotting them through the crowd, Jackie jumps up.
It's wonderful. They want me to play at a wedding in Italy.
Grabbing some champagne.
Oh, it's a princess's wedding. You will come, won't you? I'm a terrified
eye. Congratulations. You were wonderful.
Thank you.
Excuse me, everyone. Attention, please. Thank you. Jackie's debut went very well. I'm sure you would agree. And to mark the occasion, a very generous friend, who wishes to remain anonymous, has offered her this.
He opens up a black case containing a beautiful cello, which he gently lifts out.
It's one of the finest cellos ever made. It's called the Davidoff.
Overwhelmed with joy, Jackie hands her drink to Hilary, crouches down beside the cello and softly touches the fingerboard.
The magic is in the varnish. So you must keep it away from extremes of temperature. And another problem is the insurance. So don't let it get out of your sight. It will give you the world, Jackie. But you must give it yourself.
Jackie smiles up at her teacher. Now at the wedding in Italy, Hilary and Jackie, in elegant ball gowns, glide round the crowded dance floor. trying to keep straight faces.
Fratello Othello? Spaghetti. Spaghetti Othello. Spaghetti Fragola. See? Fragola, see?
Uffizi del Ponte.
Oh, Uffizi del Ponte. Firenze.
Firenze. Capri.
Capri è bellissimo.
Sì, bellissimo.
È bellissimo.
Sei fortissimo.
They struggle to regain their composure. Now Jackie plays whilst the newlyweds dance alone. Later, in a darkened dormitory, the two sisters cuddle together on a single bed, drinking champagne by the light of a torch. They drink together. They look up. The torch beam flits over a painting of cherubs on the ceiling.
We're in heaven.
Oh, put that bloody light out!
Stifling their giggles, they switch off the torch. The screen goes black. A caption appears. Hillary. Hillary wakes the next morning alone in bed. She looks around blearily and addresses a girl in the next door bed.
Excuse me, have you seen my sister?
Is your sister Jacqueline Dupré?
Yes, that's right.
She'll be in Berlin by now. She's playing the Haydn Cello Concerto in C.
Oh.
Are you going back to London?
Yes, I suppose so.
The girl leaves. Hillary remains in bed. Back in rain-swept London, Hillary boards a red double-decker bus and arrives at the Royal Academy of Music. She skips up the front steps into the grand entrance hall and sprints up the vast wooden staircase. Now in a private study, Hillary performs in front of a grey-bearded man sitting behind a desk. She frantically bobs her head and body as she plays.
Blasted jigging about. Stand still, girl, stand still. It is impossible to produce a proper tone without proper deportment.
He signals for her to try again. She does, bobbing around as before.
You have no technique. That's all right, technique can be taught. We just have to go back to the beginning and start again. Cancel any concert dates you may have outstanding.
Yes, Mr. Bentley.
As he scribbles in each page of his diary, Hillary humbly dismantles her flute.
Oh, Hillary, how is your marvellous sister?
I'm not sure she's away at the moment, in Russia.
Oh. Back at the house, Hillary practices her flute in the living room, whilst Mr. Dupré fiddles with the wireless and Piers adjusts the aerial outside the window.
That's it, old boy. Keep trying.
That's it.
Piers comes back inside, bumping his head.
Ooh, felt that.
Listen.
Well done, boy.
What is it?
That is Radio Moscow.
Hillary sits next to him.
This is what Jack will be hearing if she's listening to the wireless.
Back in Mr. Bentley's study, Hillary still bobs lightly as she plays.
No. No. No! No! No!
Mr. Bentley steps up to her.
Instead of rehearsing this piece, I just want you to practice playing B-flat.
Just the note, B-flat?
The note. Just the note.
Hilary raises the flute to her lips, positions it properly, shuts her eyes and takes a deep breath before playing.
Parcel from Jax, everybody!
The family gathers round the brown paper parcel.
Come and open it.
Can't open it.
Hills.
Come break
yeah.
it.
Mr. Dupre cuts through the string and Hilary excitedly unwraps the parcel.
So washing. I suppose it must be difficult getting your washing done in a foreign country.
Mrs. Dupre takes away the pile of clothes. Disappointed, Jackie stares down at the brown paper. Back at the music academy...
My niece is a student.
Shoulders hunched, Hilary mopes up the staircase, muttering to herself. A young, dark-haired man stops her.
Ah, Miss Dupre.
Yes?
I was wondering whether I could book you for a concert.
Oh, no, it's not me you want, it's my sister.
But you're Hilary Dupre, the flautist.
Yes.
Yes, yes, well, it's you I want. The Bach B minor.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to play concerts until after my exam.
Oh, well, when's your exam?
Well, now, as a matter of fact.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll wait.
He smiles and Hilary heads off. In his study, Mr. Bentley's joined by another man to examine Hilary.
Please. Good. 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 Would you like to try that for us again, please, Hilary?
Hilary nods meekly and lifts the flute to her lips in the same stiff, unnatural pose.
Again! Again!
She shudders uncontrollably. Tears well up in her eyes. Distressed, she lowers her flute. She runs down the stairs past the young man.
Mr. Prey?
He stares after her, his eyes flickering in thought. Hilary returns to the house in the torrential rain. She fishes out her keys to open the front door. Hearing the music, she stops, leaves the door ajar and stands in the doorway, facing the rain, tightly clutching her flute and music case. She slumps down and sits on the doorstep, rubbing a hand over her forehead. The young man turns up and stands in front of her. She sits motionless, staring into space, black hair plastered against her forehead, unaware of his presence.
Look, do I get my booking?
She looks up, startled.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Oh, you ran off. I followed you home.
He sits down next to her.
You don't mind, do you?
No. As a matter of fact.
They stare at each other.
I'd ask you in, but, it's a bit awkward. My sister's just come home.
They nod and share a moment of awkward silence, their eyes alternately meeting and flitting away. The man smiles.
Let's go in.
The man enters.
What do you think you're doing?
Well, if you're not going to invite me to tea, I shall just have to make a nuisance of myself.
He sheds his coat.
You know, I'm starving.
Barring the hall doorway, she stands frozen as he wipes her damp face with his hanky. Suddenly, the door opens behind her. As the sisters hug, the man goes inside.
Hello?
Who's this?
Kiffer. Kiffer Finzi. I'm in love with Hilary. And you're Hilary's sister? What do you do?
I'm a musician.
Ah, following in Hills' footsteps, are you? You any good?
Into the living room.
Hello? Kiffer Finzi. Very pleased to meet you. Oh, I say, you don't mind if I start, do you? Exams really do give you an appetite.
Your exam? How did it go?
Oh.
Famously. She's been offered professional bookings. £5 to do the Bach B minor next week in Newbury. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
You must be very proud of her.
Yes, I am.
These are delicious. Absolutely throwing it down. I'm trying to help you. So,
what? Shall I be mum?
Oh, a nice cup of tea.
The roof.
I just screamed. So embarrassing.
So have you been with him?
The sisters sit in the round bedroom window.
No, of course not.
Painting her nails, Hilary looks up at Jackie, who nibbles bashfully.
Why, have you been with somebody?
I'm thinking my answer and you're going to have to read my mind.
All right.
Jackie bows her head. Hilary shuts her eyes.
Oh, my lord, are you have? You study in Scarlet?
What about you, Hills?
Been with anyone?
Well, you'll have to read my mind.
Hilary turns back to painting her nails.
Oh, poor Hills. Maybe one day. Then again, maybe not.
Hilary nudges her. A concert. Hilary bobs her head happily as she plays and lifts her eyebrows to Kiffer, who's conducting. In the kitchen, Kiffer reads out of a newspaper to Hilary and her mother.
Hilary Dupré is a flautist of immense expression as well as technical ability. She obviously has a great future ahead of her.
Does it mention Jackie?
Oh, I should have mentioned Jackie. She wasn't playing.
It's very impressive. I wonder if I might ask you to keep your voice down. Jackie's asleep and we don't like to disturb her.
What, she's here?
Yes. Yeah, she's in bed.
Well, she should get up. Read your review.
No, you mustn't wake her. Hilary, tell him.
Kiffer.
He passes Mr. Dupré.
Where's he going?
Go up, up, out of that bed.
Hilary, your friend is making rather a lot of noise.
Kiffer carries Jackie into the kitchen and dumps her down at the table.
Look, read.
Oh, we're off to the pictures.
No, you can't come. It's a date. We're going to see Jules et Jules. Sounds French. Where's it playing?
In France.
It's by Francois Truffaut and it's playing at the Scala in Wardour Street.
That's in Soho.
Yes, I thought we could go to Maison Berthault first, seeing as we're in a French mood.
You do realise that there are white slavers working in that area? I mean, no self-respecting man would ask a woman to go to such a place. It's out of the question. I'm sorry, it's completely out of the question.
Mr. Dupré gives his wife a pointed look.
Well, no chance of a lift then.
He grabs Hilary by the hand and, with a quick glance at her disapproving parents, she's dragged away. Sitting discreetly at the table, Jackie bows her head, a faint smile playing across her lips. Late that night, Jackie lies wide awake in the soft, pale glow of the moonlight shining through the round bedroom window. Jackie shuts her eyes and pretends to be asleep as Hilary creeps up the steps and slowly approaches her bed. She sits at Jackie's bedside and lays a hand on her.
Jax. Jax.
Jackie wakes.
Kiffer's asked me to marry him. What? Kiffer's asked me to marry him. Well, what do you think?
That's just silly.
Look, Hills, you don't have to marry him.
She takes something out of her bedside cabinet.
Do you know what that is? That, my dear, is a Dutch cap. It's a contraceptive.
Is it really?
Hilary takes the diaphragm.
Where did you get it? Doc fitted me up. Oh, come on, Hills. Get a flat together and go bonkers. We could have all the men we wanted to, I know we could.
I'm going to marry Kiffer.
Jackie stares searchingly at her sister.
I love him. He loves me. He does not love you. He just wants to get into your knickers. You don't have to get married every time you fancy a screw, you know. That's what these are for.
I want to get married.
Well, you can't marry him.
Hilary frowns, Jackie props herself up against her pillow and gives her sister a hard look.
You can't just leave me.
I'm not leaving you. You're not here anymore. You never will be again.
Haven't you heard? I'm giving up the cello.
Oh, don't be silly.
I can do what I want.
You don't know anything apart from the cello. I don't know anything apart from the flute. We're babies, Jax. And Kiffer laughs at me.
Then why are you marrying him?
Because he makes me feel special.
Well, that's a big squeeze, because the truth is, you're not special.
Sadness spreads over Hillary's face. Jackie lowers her gaze. Hillary attempts a smile and gets up.
I thought you'd be happy for me.
A shiny gold plaque outside a building reads Marylebone Registry Office. Guests file into a tastefully decorated room. Hillary and Kiffer, Jackie alone, Mr. and Mrs. Dupre.
This is nice!
In front of the small gathering, Kiffer fishes the ring out of his pocket. The ceremony complete, the couple kiss, and Jackie begins the applause. Jackie throws her arms around her sister and kisses Kiffer full on the lips. As the newlyweds pose for a photograph at the front of the room, the table collapses. A black and white family photo. Back at the house, the family sits around the dinner table when Jackie enters wearing a red PVC dress and with a young curly-haired man in tow.
Hey!
Good God. What on earth are you wearing?
Oh, it's fab, isn't it? Danny bought it for me. Well, this is Danny, by the way. Danny, this is Daddy. Daddy-o.
Carrying out the dirty dishes, Hillary joins her mother in the kitchen.
Birnbein. I thought it was from Argentina. Surely that must be a German name.
I think it must be Jewish.
Oh. Oh dear.
In the dining room.
I had a large breakfast this morning. I'm here on the train.
But I have got plenty more this morning. Yes, please take it.
Anyway, Mummy, we're really desperate to get married, but Lord knows when we're going to have the time.
They all stare curiously at Jackie.
Of course. It's best not to rush these things, darling.
Well, I'm completely booked up until May, and then Danny's booked up in
June.
Oh, he's such a show-off. He's very handsome, isn't he?
Of course, we only really meet in airports.
But we're going to do more joint bookings together, sort of a duo, like the Beatles.
There are four Beatles, actually.
Are there? Mm-hmm. Oh. Anyway, when we do get married, we're going to get married somewhere wildly romantic, like the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem.
Don't you have to be Jewish to be married at the Wailing Wall?
Yes, that's right. I'm going to be Jewish. I'm having lessons already.
Instruction, not lessons.
So, what do you think?
Mr. Dupre opens his mouth to speak, but Pierce beats him to it.
Why are you talking funny?
Am I?
In the hall...
Look, nobody becomes Jewish. I know for a fact you can't just convert to Judaism. Bye-bye, Tom. Honestly, I can sort it out.
They go. Hillary waves them goodbye.
She can't possibly be Jewish, for God's sake. She's blonde.
Now Hillary and her parents watch Jackie and Daniel on the television.
They call them the Arthur and Guinevere of music's Camelot. The blossoming romance between Jacqueline Dupre and the Argentinian pianist Daniel Barenboim has taken the world...
Yes?
Up a bit higher.
Miss Dupre and Mr. Barenboim...
That's it?
...the greatest musical talents of their generation. Miss Dupre astonished the British public with her brilliant rendition of Elgar's cello concerto.
Pierce!
From a triumphant series of the titles of...
I've ruined it, Mum!
Mr. Dupre leads Jackie down the aisle of a Jewish synagogue.
Just announced their engagement. Miss Dupre is converting to Judaism, and they plan to wed in Barenboim's adopted home of Israel in the Golden City of Jerusalem.
Daniel smashes some glass underfoot and lifts his bride's white veil to kiss her. They giggle and laugh excitedly, and Jackie throws her arms round Hillary. They leave the church to face an onslaught of reporters and photographers. A photo of the couple kissing outside the church features in the first of a series of international newspaper articles, spinning towards the camera, charting the golden couple's success at concerts in Spain, Russia, Japan, Britain, America, and Italy. In a cluttered attic room, with wooden beams supporting a triangular ceiling, Hilary, her hair now cut short, sticks an article headlined Dupré Shines in Beethoven into a scrapbook. She marks the place in the book with a pencil and adds it to a pile of books all labelled Jackie. She checks on her two daughters asleep in the adjacent room, then goes outside the rustic rural cottage, where Kiffer is up a ladder, clearing out the gutter.
Both asleep.
Coming.
Making his way down the ladder, he jumps off onto the ground. She hands him a hot drink and they kiss. He slips his hands underneath her warm clothes.
Oh, we're freezing.
Yeah, cold fingers, very stimulating.
No, they're bloody well not.
By a Morris Minor, they look at each other saucily. Kiffer blows on his hand. Hilary opens up the vehicle and fishes out a pair of gloves.
Oh. Okay. Come on, Jed.
Kiffer pushes her inside the car and sticks his head under her jumper.
Your nose is cold too.
She looks over his shoulder.
Someone's coming.
They can't be.
Oh, they are, you know.
A taxi pulls up at the gate some way up the lane. Hilary and Kiffer recover themselves and get out of the Morris Minor to gaze at a figure climbing out of the cab, carrying a cello case.
Jackie.
Hilary walks off, leaving Kiffer by the car. Jackie comes through the gate. Hilary runs towards her. Jackie, wearing a fur-lined purple coat, dumps her cases down.
Oh, oh.
They hug as Kiffer runs up.
Why didn't you tell us?
Jackie buries her face in her sister's shoulder, then looks up and, with a tearful smile, hugs Kiffer. She sees the house.
Do I have to walk all the way down there?
Oh, come.
Kiffer carries Jackie down the lane, leaving Hilary with the cases. That night, they sit round an open log fire, wine glasses in hand.
Wine.
Okay.
Yes, please.
So, Hilary, listen. Oh, no, I've forgotten it. Shit. Where's it go?
I know this.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Bordeaux,
absolutely not.
Yes.
You two are telepathic.
It's true.
No rubbish.
Do another one.
Right.
Listening. I know this is Des Natalis by Kiffer's father.
Oh, you should know that.
All right, go on, do another one.
Okay,
don't tap it, just think it.
Okay, all right.
Hilary shuts her eyes and thinks.
That you really got me by the kinks.
Absolutely.
Are you just saying that?
No, it's true. We always know what the other one is thinking. Right. You know what I'm thinking now, don't you, sis?
Not really.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
I'll tell you.
No. I mean, just tell me.
Jackie goes over and whispers in Hilary's ear.
I want to sleep with Kiffer.
Hilary's smile fades and her expression darkens.
You don't mind, do you, sis? We always did say that we'd share everything, remember?
Upset, Hilary lowers her eyes. Jackie lounges in her chair, an impish grin on her face, her eyes flitting from Hilary to Kiffer.
What? What is it?
Nothing. I think we should all go to bed.
I don't want to go to bed!
to bed. I could stay up all night.
That night, Hilary and Kiffer are fast asleep in bed. Jackie enters and remains frozen in their bedroom doorway for an instant. Hilary wakes and opens her eyes, hearing Jackie creeping up the stairs. As Jackie approaches the bed, Hilary shuts her eyes, pretending to sleep. Jackie squats down beside the bed on Kiffer's side and gently slides a hand across Kiffer's chest. Through half-open eyes, Hilary sees and slides an arm round Kiffer, causing Jackie to pull her hand back. Disappointed, Jackie rises and steals out of the room. Hilary lifts her head to check she's gone and hugs her husband protectively. The next day, Jackie sits gloomily on a bench against the cracked stone wall of the house, watching Hilary and her children dig up a vegetable patch.
Well, you have to be very careful, because it's very easy to stand on worms, though, isn't it? Why don't you look around there? I think you might be standing on worms.
Kiffer emerges.
I'm just going over to the Williams' place for cheese, Don.
Well, I'll come with you.
I thought you had jet lag.
Well, the walk will help.
Kiffer catches his wife's dark look.
Well, look, why don't you two go together and I can get on with the gutters?
Fine.
Jackie frowns.
Actually, I'd just as soon stay here.
Me too. Settle then. Kiffer goes off for the cheese and we stay here.
Oh, I'll get the fucking cheese, all right?
Kiffer leans against the ladder as Jackie runs off.
I think you should go with her.
Why?
Because she doesn't know the way.
He picks up a bucket and climbs the ladder. After a while, Hilary ambles across a vast green field.
Jackie!
She tramps along the grassy bank of a gentle stream.
Jackie!
Spotting something, she pauses, then quickens her pace as she finds items of Jackie's clothing strewn on the ground. Frowning, she scans the woodland ahead with rising panic. Splashing through the stream, she frantically searches the woodland.
Jackie! 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 Jackie!
A trail of discarded clothing leads her to Jackie, who's huddled naked in the bushes.
Jackie.
Hilary scrambles up the bank towards her sister. Jackie's legs are grazed and dirty. She tries to cut her wrist with a twig.
Jackie.
Ah!
Come on.
All I want is a fucking fuck for fuck's sake!
It's okay.
Hilary wraps Jackie up in her coat and hugs her tightly. Back at the house that evening, Kiffer looks at Jackie in sullen disbelief.
We have to.
No, we don't have to. Why would we have to? Why would anyone have to?
Because she's my sister.
It's what I think you'll find, that this is not the sort of thing the sisters normally ask one another.
Because I'm scared.
It's what she doesn't scare me.
Kiffer pours some wine and returns to his seat.
I'm sure it would just be the once.
Just the once? Huh? Well, I wouldn't have asked any particular position.
She just needs proof.
Proof of what? For God's sake, Hilt.
Proof that somebody loves her.
Daytime. Kiffer holds the gate open as Daniel, smartly dressed and carrying a briefcase, climbs out of a taxi. The men shake hands and stand looking down at the house.
She just went. Didn't say a word, didn't cancel her engagements.
Kiffer lays an encouraging hand on his arm, and they start to walk slowly towards the house.
How does she seem to you?
Well, she has been acting a little oddly.
Daniel looks anxious. Hilary and Jackie stand in the front doorway. Holding her daughter, Hilary waves, Jackie shrinks back into the house and Hilary follows her. Now they all walk along a muddy track through lush green fields. Hilary walks a few feet behind with the children.
Well, it's beautiful. I can see why you wanted to come here instead of Los Angeles. Don't worry about the cancellations, by the way. I've seen to them. Everyone was very understanding. No one wants to put pressure on you, so... Don't worry.
Jackie walks hand in hand with Kiffer.
So...
Which is the daddy? Which one?
There's a slate mine on the other side of the mountain.
Kiffer! That's what...
Teresa's farm. Will you excuse me a moment?
Kiffer joins the children.
I was thinking. If Kiffer and Hilary can do it, so can we. We could buy a house near here if you like. It would cost next to nothing. We could have all we needed. We could have a little studio, a rehearsal room, so phones. We could have a helipad. What do you say?
Soon after, Hilary and Kiffer hover by the gate as Daniel throws his briefcase into a waiting taxi.
I try to give her everything she wants. I don't know what she wants. Do you know what she wants?
Not really.
The men look at each other for an instant. Then Daniel turns to climb into the taxi.
Look after her, won't you, Kiffer?
Kiffer nods. Daniel nods with him and gets into the taxi. Hilary and Kiffer return to the house to find Jackie sitting by the fire.
That's better. It's just us again.
Hilary and Kiffer exchange looks and shed their coats. Nighttime. Jackie and Kiffer make love, bathed in the subtle moonlight. Kiffer lies on top of her and buries his face in her neck. She runs her hands over his head and shoulders, a peaceful look on her face. Hilary lies alone in bed. Closing her eyes, she tries to sleep but fidgets restlessly. Eventually, she gets out of bed. She goes into the children's room, sits on her daughter's bedside and climbs in next to her. Awoken, her daughter clings onto her. Hilary hugs and kisses her, and settles down to sleep. The next morning at breakfast, Hilary dishes out porridge for the children.
You know you can't have toast. I don't know why you keep asking.
Jackie and Kiffer come down.
Toast?
Toast? I want toast too. Can we have toast?
Well, I haven't had a chance to light the fire.
Oh, well, we'll light the fire, won't we? Come on, let's light the fire. Here. Here. Take some of these and put them on the fire.
Jackie turns round to face them.
I feel $1 million this morning. That was exactly what the doctor ordered.
Serving up breakfast, Hilary avoids her husband's gaze. Jackie comes over and throws her arms round her sister.
Thank you, Hills. You don't mind, do you? No, of course not.
Hilary looks close to tears, Kiffer a little dazed.
Well, here we all are. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could stay like this forever?
Get this one. Won't you get that one?
Go on. Put some more logs on the fire.
Now, grainy handheld footage from a home film camera. Hilary and the children play with some chickens. Hilary smiles and waves to the camera. Her mother hugs one of her granddaughters. They chase the chicken. One of the little girls sticks her tongue out. Some geese squawk at the camera. Jackie and Kiffer unload the children and baskets of food out from the Morris Minor. Kiffer grins and leads the way. Jackie follows, clutching the baskets and umbrella in one hand, one of the little girls clinging onto the other. Jackie and Kiffer sail paper boats on a pond and play with the children in the bath. Arm in arm, Jackie and Kiffer take a walk in the woods with the children. Now, at a birthday party, the children wear paper hats. Jackie and Kiffer hug and tussle out in the garden, and Kiffer throws Jackie playfully to the ground. Jackie grins happily. Kiffer throws a ball straight at the camera. The ball falls at Hillary's feet as she stands motionless on the sidelines, a look of silent anguish on her face as she watches the family play happily without her. She blinks back tears and, as if awakening from a daze, looks down at the ball at her feet and storms off. Jackie and Kiffer notice and stop playing. Jackie runs to pick up the ball and tosses it to Kiffer, who stands staring after Hillary.
Here, Kiff. Come on.
That night, Kiffer climbs into bed with his wife.
What are you doing?
I'm kissing.
Hillary slowly begins to reciprocate. Kiffer climbs on top of her and they kiss passionately.
What about Jack?
What about her?
Should we go?
Look, I don't care.
As their passion mounts, Hillary wraps her arms and legs around Kiffer's body. Her face concerned, Hillary starts trying to resist. Kiffer grabs her hands and holds her down with the weight of his body.
Oh, God. Kiffer. Stop. Get off me. She'll never talk to me again now.
You've got to start saying no to her. The more you give her, the more she wants.
Jackie plays in her bedroom. Hillary enters and stands in the doorway.
I've given her everything. Ever since we were little, everything you've asked for, I've said yes. Jackie, listen. Jackie. Jackie.
Carrying her cello in her little suitcase and wearing her purple fur-lined coat, Jackie walks out of the house in the cold light of dawn. She imagines herself to be on the beach where she and Hillary as young girls run and play.
Through the
bloody light out.
Flashing back in time to after the Italian wedding. Against a black screen, a caption reads, Jackie. Psst. Psst. A mustachioed man wakes Jackie.
Come, we must go. You have a plane.
What?
You're playing to Germany for your concert tonight.
What about my sister?
She will be taken to her England plane. It's all arranged. You must hurry.
Awake and dressed, Jackie plants a kiss on her sleeping sister's head and leaves with the man. Letters on an airport departures board spell out Berlin. Now in front of an orchestra in a majestic and packed concert hall, Jackie, in a bright red sleeveless ball gown, performs on a semicircular wooden platform. As she plays, her face is fierce with concentration, her body alive with the passion of the music. Ending with her customary flourish of the bow, Jackie stands and bows to the standing ovation. After the show in the crowded dressing room, Jackie stands alone and ignored. One admirer approaches, kisses her hand and drifts away. Another comes up and greets her with a stiff bow.
Very good. Romantic. We understand this.
Really? I'm afraid I don't understand a bloody word, frankly.
Please?
Danke.
Bitte?
Ich bin ein Hamburger. Kartoffelschluss, Doppelgang, Eingang, Hochsfahrt. Großfadenschnitt. Gerst ohne Fadenst. Gerst Nussduft, Heidenrutscht. Frankfurter, bitte. Und Wodenschmutz, Adelrutscht. Und Woden, Hodendicht, Ostnetter, Fledenschmutz und Ausfahrt.
Yeah. Jackie grins and drinks in the applause. Letters on a departures board flicker. As Jackie wheels her cello through various airports, the case accumulates more and more stickers belonging to different airlines. The departures board flags up Vienna. Jackie dials from a public phone and listens confused for a moment. She hangs up and tries again.
I'm sorry, wrong number. In Schönigen.
She feeds in more money, listens and frowns.
Hello, Mummy, is Hilary there? Can... Oh, sorry. Sorry, wrong number.
She checks for returned coins. Finding none, she bangs the phone and kicks her cello case. Getting a quizzical look from a man, she kicks it again and stares at him defiantly. Another departures board flickers. Jackie wheels her cello case, which is now covered in stickers, slowly through another airport. The departures board flickers and shows up Madrid. At the Spanish after-show party, Jackie again sits alone on the sidelines in the same red ball gown. An elegant black-haired woman rushes up to her.
Fantastico, fantastico, querida. Casals was in the audience tonight. He was most impressed. We would be honored if you join us for supper.
Oh, I'd love to. Only the problem is that I stink.
Excuse me?
Well, sweat just runs off me when I'm playing. What about Pablo? Does he have the same problem? Look.
There's Mia.
In her bedroom, Jackie talks to a chambermaid.
Excuse me. My clothes are dirty and I'd like to wash them. Wash? Yes, dirty. Washing?
Sí, lavadero.
The basin.
Well, there's no plug and it's too small.
No. Lavadero. Lávelo ahí.
Ahí, lavadero, ahí.
No, lo entiendo, señora. Lávelo ahí. Lavadero, estos, ahí, en lavadero.
Lo siento mucho, señora. Is there a washing machine?
Shaking her head, she goes.
Estos ingleses...
Jackie hurls her garments at the closed door and slumps petulantly into a chair. Now the cello lies in a shaft of light falling through a half-open doorway. Jackie sits on her bed, rocking back and forth. She can't help looking at the instrument.
Shut up!
She claps her hands over her ears. Now the cello glides along on a trolley. Destination, Moscow. In an extravagantly decorated room, Jackie sits in a semicircle of cellists, all clutching their instruments, watching a bespectacled man perform.
The maestro is pleased to see you. He thinks you're going to be a great cellist. He wants to know if all is well. Do you have happened here?
Gosh, yes, heaps of it. It's just the cello. Well, it's silly, really. I just don't want to be a cellist, after all. Well, I never asked to be a cellist, you see. It's all a big cock-up. One day I was just playing, and then the next day I was booked up for the next 2 years. I hate the cello, if you want to know.
I think I understand this wrong.
Yes. Thank you.
Smiling and nodding awkwardly, Jackie slopes off. Huddled up against the cold, she lugs her cello through Moscow across a blanket of snow, dwarfed by the massive, austere buildings. A black car sweeps past. She goes through a tall archway and enters a long hall. She tramps up the red carpet towards a desk at the far end of the hall. Seeing her coming, the man behind the desk pulls out a brown paper parcel. Jackie's face lights up. She drops her cases and dashes towards him. Removing her gloves, she starts to tear open the parcel. It contains her clean clothes. She buries her face in them.
This is what my home smells like.
Moved beyond words, Jackie lifts the clothes to her nose again and takes a deep sniff. Now Jackie takes her cello out onto the balcony of her bedroom and leaves it outside in the heavy snow while she slips back inside. She kneels on her big double bed, carefully lays her clothes out round the pillow, and lies amongst them, wrapping them around her, reveling in the comforting smell. The cello, shut out on the balcony, weathers the driving snow, whilst inside Jackie sleeps. Jackie's room is plunged into darkness. She sits up and sees her cello magically back inside the room. Fear creeps over her face and she glances at the balcony door. Back in her family home in London, Jackie opens the hall door to find Hillary and Kiffer.
Kiffer Finzi. I'm in love with Hillary.
Later that day...
I shan't be very late. I came back to see you.
Hillary glances back at Kiffer, standing grinning at the open front door.
I shan't be long.
They leave.
It's terribly funny.
I'm going to get a job, and I'm going to be an ordinary person like you.
You couldn't be ordinary in a million years. And you don't know anything apart from the cello. I don't know anything apart from the flute. Jackie, we're babies. Kiffer laughs at me.
And why are you marrying him?
Because he makes me feel special.
A black cab pulls up.
You don't understand that because you don't have anybody to make you feel special.
Well, that's a big swiss. But
because the truth is that you're not special.
If you think that being an ordinary person is any easier than being an extraordinary one, you're wrong.
Jackie sits in the back of the cab with her cello.
If you didn't have that cello to prop you up, you'd be nothing.
Jackie pays and climbs out of the cab, leaving her cello behind. The cab pulls off as Jackie enters a squat white building where a party's in progress. A waiter carrying a tray of drinks weaves amongst the guests. Their fashionable clothes and the minimalist decor of the room dates the scene in the 70s. The attention of several female guests centers Daniel at the piano. Isolated as usual, Jackie's gaze alights on Daniel and she smiles coyly. He notices her too.
Who's that?
Jackie drains her glass and looks idly at a book a young man next to her is reading.
Hey, Freud.
You like Freud?
Yes. Well, he'd be a lot better if he hadn't invented the atom bomb, though, wouldn't he?
The young man misses the joke, and Jackie returns to her usual position alone on the sidelines, when Daniel comes up to her.
Are you Jacqueline Dupre?
Yes, I am.
I've heard about you. I'm Daniel Barenboim.
I've heard about you, too.
Really? What have you heard?
I heard that you had glandular fever.
That's right.
Well, it's very infectious, isn't it? So you'd better keep your distance.
Oh, it's not infectious, it's contagious. You have to have bodily contact with the other person.
Oh, so you can talk to me, but you can't kiss me.
Jackie! You left this in the cab. Silly girl.
Thank you.
Her cello.
So you are a musician?
Yes, I am a musician. You know very well that I'm a musician. I'm a very famous musician, actually.
Well, you don't look like a musician.
Really? So what are musicians supposed to look like, then?
They're not usually so blonde.
Danny, we should go.
I have to go. I'd love to talk to you sometime about glandular fever.
As Daniel leaves, Jackie's playful smile fades. As he heads for the door, he's stopped in his tracks. The guests have cleared around Jackie, who's playing her cello, her knee-length skirt hitched up to her thighs. Daniel joins her on the piano. Jackie and Daniel sit, naked, close together on a bed in a Japanese-style room.
Paderewski. Beethoven. You name it.
Well, I won a talent contest in Camden. And I won in Burley.
Where's Burley?
You wouldn't know it.
Moscow. I won in Moscow.
I made Miss Mansi cry.
Who's Miss Mansi?
Who's Miss Mansi?
Who's Miss Mansi?
She's my mother's teacher. What about you? Did you ever make anyone cry?
No, I never made anyone cry.
Jackie lies alone beside her cello on the bed.
Thank you.
She fingers the strings.
I'm sorry I treated you so badly. I should have known you'll never let me down.
Jackie, Daniel and a violinist perform in a recording studio. Thank you.
Now that's how to play Beethoven.
They listen back to the recording.
It's too slow. You're coming in too slow.
No, you're too fast. You're throwing it away.
No, you'll have to do it again.
I think I'll decide the tempo.
Are you all right?
Yeah, I've just got cold hands.
He rubs her hands between his.
Listen to that. It sounds like you're running for a bus.
I never ran for a bus in my life.
Jackie sits in the back of a car, her cello beside her. Daniel climbs in and produces a pair of gloves.
To keep your hands warm.
Like that.
She's very vigorous with the bow, huh? So there has to be an unusual amount of room under the arm, here.
They're at a dressmaker's.
Sweat is the main problem. So that the seams have to be a lot stronger than normal, yeah?
I understand.
Jackie tries on an elegant yellow sleeveless dress and lifts her arm to test the freedom of movement. Now wearing a succession of different coloured gowns, Jackie performs in the spotlight, surrounded by complete blackness. Her bow falls out of her hand and drops to the floor in a cloud of dust. Open-mouthed, Jackie stares down at it, then raises her eyes. Daniel steps out of the darkness, bends down, and picks it up for her.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. I love it.
She takes the bow and rises. They take a bow together. Backstage, they walk hand in hand down a red carpeted corridor. Entering her separate dressing room, Jackie reaches for a glass of water. She knocks the glass to the floor and is alarmed to find her hand shaking. In a hotel room...
I've called for him 3 or 4 times.
Danny, have you seen my pills anywhere? I've lost my pills.
I don't know where your pills are.
Oh, come on.
Shit. Don't worry about the pills.
I can't play without the pills.
Of course you can play without the pills. The pills have no effect on you whatsoever.
I found them.
Jackie shuts her suitcase, picks it up, takes her purple coat too, and sweeps out of the room. She dumps her stuff down and waits in the corridor.
Danny, would you still love me if I couldn't play?
What?
I said, would you still love me if I couldn't play?
You wouldn't be you if you couldn't play.
No, I want to know.
Our bodies sway to music. Our brightening glance. How can we know? The dancer from the dance.
But don't you wish sometimes that you couldn't play, that you could just be ordinary?
What? Live in the country, baking bread, feeding chickens, playing once a year with a bunch of amateurs.
How dare you insult my sister like that?
I wasn't insulting her, I was
Well, at least she chose her life. Not like you and me, you were just trained freaks.
Look, let's just get in the cab and then talk about it.
Jackie breathes quickly, her large eyes glistening with tears.
I wasn't being rude.
He snatches up his cases and goes out to the corridor to find Jackie and her cello have disappeared. He looks around, baffled. Jackie climbs out of the taxi, dumps her cases down by the wooden gate, and opens her arms wide to hug Hillary.
Why didn't you tell us you were coming?
Kiffer walks up the lane towards them and breaks into a run. Jackie delightedly kisses and hugs him too. Jackie sits on her bed, hugging the backs of her thighs, staring miserably into space. Kiffer opens the door and looks over his shoulder before entering. Seeing him, Jackie lays her head on her knees, her long disheveled hair hanging down over her face. Kiffer puts an arm round her and she hugs onto him tightly. He rocks her back and forth and pats her back like a baby. Grainy home camera footage shows Kiffer and Jackie hugging and laughing together. Jackie leaves the house, tramping up the garden path with her cello on her back. Now in a dimly lit dressing room, Jackie applies rosin to her bow, but stops suddenly and frowns. Jackie looks down and lifts her skirt to find a damp patch on her seat. She jumps to her feet. She checks her dress and rakes her long hair away from her face to consider for an instant, controlling her panic. She looks down and sees a puddle of water beneath her chair. She quickly begins to change her dress before taking to the stage. Jackie sweeps her bow round in a wide arc. Her eyes hooded under a deep furrowed brow, Jackie seems pained, her fingers scraping laboriously down the strings. Her fingers slip clumsily and become caught. Jackie scowls, anguished, flashes of white light, close-up shots of her eyes and mouth. Jackie struggles to retain control. Jackie remains frozen like a waxwork, her hands open and not touching the cello, her bow pointing in the air, her eyes lowered. She blinks, the applause of the crowd drawing her out of her daze. Daniel turns to her, stretching out his arm to signal her to take a bow. She remains seated, trembling. Daniel steps down and draws closer to her.
I can't get up. I can't get up.
Eyes wide in terror and incomprehension, Daniel lays down his baton and takes her cello.
Gift.
He lays the instrument down, and as the hall empties, Daniel carries Jackie off in his arms. Once they've left, the orchestra rises and leaves the stage. From the deep red concert hall, the scene changes to a sterile white hospital room. Dozing in a bed, Jackie wakes, opens her eyes, and smiles warmly.
I've got a fatal illness, but you mustn't worry, because I've got it very mildly.
Daniel sits beside her, looking down at her sadly. Hilary, Kiffer, and the children pay her a visit.
But, Cal, what if she won't see you?
Of course she'll see me. I'm her sister.
Hilary, pregnant again, enters Jackie's ward and lingers in the doorway. Jackie's talking to an elegant elderly lady.
Emily's flowers and garden and chocolate and it gets fat. You know, I'm so relieved that it's only MS. I know it's serious, but I thought I was going mad.
They see her. Hilary smiles.
Hello, Jack. It's good to see you.
Breaking into a smile, Jackie welcomes her sister with open arms and embraces her.
This,
My sister here will tell you, this country bumpkin here is my sister. This is Dame Margot Fontaine. She's a friend of mine.
Oh, it's an honor to meet you, Dame Margot.
Please. My sister will tell you I was behaving in the strangest way. But you know, all that's happening is that my nerve endings are damaged or something.
Right.
And I might have to go into a wheelchair.
Oh, no.
But not for ages. It takes years. And it happens in fits and starts. And they're on the brink of a cure anyway.
Well, who'll look after you then? Well, it's just Danny's so busy, isn't he? And, well, the flat's all wrong. It's just Kiff and I have talked about it.
Dame Margot has very kindly offered to lend me her flat. You see, it's in Kensington. Well, I can't really be hidden away in the country, can I? Hilary keeps chickens. She used to be a musician, but now it's all chickens and children, isn't it, Hills?
Well, I would so like to have had children.
Hilary's got heaps of them. In fact, if you want to get yourself impregnated, you should ask her hubby. He's extremely fertile and he's a fantastic fuck. Honestly, Margot, he's the best I've ever had. If you ask her nicely, she'll lend him to you.
Hilary looks sad. Jackie's smile fades. Hilary joins her family and parents out in the corridor.
She's never been quite right since she went to Russia, you know. I think...
Dear Patrick, you don't think this means you'll have to stop playing?
No, of course not.
All right.
Mr. and Mrs. Dupre link arms as they walk off down the corridor towards Jackie's room. In Dame Margot's flat in a big white Art Deco apartment block, Jackie plays, accompanied by Daniel. Against a blue backdrop and the glare of hazy white light, Daniel helps Jackie roll back and forth on an inflatable ball and walk between two parallel bars.
Okay, I'll do this one again.
Careful, careful. Oh my God. And very good. That's good.
As she lies on a bench, Daniel stretches her legs from side to side.
Good to fall off.
Jackie in bed.
I got up for the job today.
I thought you already had a job.
Move over.
I can't move over.
All right. I'll move you over.
He heaves her over.
Okay.
He lies beside her, his head propped up on his elbow.
Artistic director of the Orchestra de Paris.
Jackie stares at him, blinks rapidly, and looks away.
Oh.
Oh. In many ways, it would be better than now. You know, I'd always be in one place. Not in Malta one night, in Chicago the next, you know.
You're always in the same place.
Yeah.
Paris.
I don't know. If it were London,
of course you should do it, of course. Paris isn't that far. You could come home a lot.
She smiles at him cheerfully. He frowns, deep in thought.
We'll think about it.
That'd give me a chance to practice my French. I've been working very hard on my languages, actually.
That's good.
Joda, do you know what that is?
I think so.
It's Spanish for fuck. And puta, that's French for fuck. And ficken, that's German for fuck. And chiavare is Italian for fuck. And camomile, do you know what that is?
He shakes his head.
Swahili.
Jackie closes her eyes. Daniel looks at her pensively. Daytime. Daniel loads a suitcase into the boot of his sleek white car. Jackie watches from an upstairs window as the car drives away. Against the brightly lit blue backdrop, Jackie struggles to walk between two parallel bars, bends her knees to rock gently back and forth on the inflatable ball, and lies on the bench, moving her legs together from side to side. Now Jackie's parents visit her. She eases herself into a chair with the aid of two sticks.
I just wondered how you were getting on without him.
I'm not without him. He comes home every weekend. Anyway, it'll be easier once I start playing properly again. Besides, I get heaps of visitors. Look at all the flowers.
Mr. Dupre spots a wheelchair.
What's that?
Oh, that's my new pushchair.
But you don't need a wheelchair yet.
Oh, I see. I suppose if I ate differently or I exercised more, none of this would be happening. It's all my fault, is that it?
No, I was just surprised, that's all.
Oh, it's all my fault. It's all psychological. Well, if it's psychological, it's your fault. You're my mother.
I'm sure it's nobody's fault.
Don't eat those cakes, Daddy. They're for my visitors.
He puts the cake back.
Sorry, Jack.
Against the blue backdrop, bleached out by the bright light, two nurses shift Jackie forward 1 foot at a time. Now a housekeeper holds the phone receiver in front of the cello as Jackie plays. Jackie drops the bow and takes the receiver in her feeble grasp.
Am I a cello genius?
You know you are.
Danny, I just want to play again. I play the fucking triangle. I just want to make music again.
Amid a youth orchestra performing to a packed concert hall, Jackie sits glumly with a drum on her lap. In a daze, she gazes blearily at the musicians around her, above all the agile cellists. The image is slightly distorted, along with the sound. The conductor signals for silence and looks at Jackie.
Oh my goodness, it's me!
Jackie beams happily at the applause. Hilary, amongst the audience, smiles weakly, tears pricking her eyes, and looks around her as the audience rises to its feet in an ecstatic standing ovation. Blinking slowly, she looks at the conductor and the other musicians applauding her, and her smile fades away to melancholy. She imagines herself back with the youth orchestra, looking across at her young, smiling sister. Jackie's large, pale blue eyes fill with sadness at her recollections. Hilary remains seated, somber amid the jubilant crowd around her. Now Jackie, clutching bunches of flowers, is carried down the stairs by Daniel and the housekeeper.
Hey, teach. It'll be just as rewarding as pain. So.
What do you think?
What?
I said teaching can be as rewarding as playing in its own way.
Where's Hilary?
She had to leave early. It's a long drive.
I want Hilary.
Right. I'll go see if the car's here.
Margaret, flowers.
From Jackie's distorted viewpoint, Daniel hands the flowers over.
Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I think my hearing's going.
Daniel kneels at Jackie's side. She breathes heavily, her eyelids drooping. Hilary, Kiffer, their daughter, and Mrs. Dupre return in sober silence to the car after the concert.
Very brave of her when you think about it.
Can't so much as bang a drum unless the whole world's looking at her.
I'm sorry, I really think we ought to go and see her. If we go back now, it'll be quieter.
I'd like to see her.
I wish you would go and see her. You haven't been to see her in such a long time.
Well, she'll have heaps of visitors and she doesn't want to see me.
She seems so unhappy.
Well, Mother, that is hardly surprising.
But she was happy, and now she says she wasn't. I thought, if you could show her this...
She gets out a piece of paper.
What for?
Well, as evidence. It might remind her.
Hilary takes it. It's the family photograph taken after the Coulsdon and Purley Music Festival.
Mummy, everyone smiles for photographs.
Mrs. Dupre returns it to her handbag. Kiffer looks across fondly at Hilary, who attempts a smile. Jackie sits alone in the drawing room in her wheelchair. Her head lolling to one side, she wheels herself over to the phone. She struggles to pick up the receiver and lift it to her ear.
Now I hate him more.
Perhaps next week I'll get home.
I hope so. What was that?
What?
Heard a noise.
What sort of noise?
Daniel phones from a large room where a baby scuttles round and a woman scoops it up in her arms.
Well, it's nothing. It's probably my hearing playing up again. It sounded like a baby crying.
I see.
It must be my hearing playing up again, wasn't it?
I'll call you later.
You bastard.
Moving herself with difficulty, Jackie drops the receiver into her lap and lifts a hand onto the phone. Shuddering with the effort, Jackie tries to dial, her face contorting with frustration. Now with her mother.
Where's Hilary?
She's... The children got a virus and they didn't want you to catch it.
Typical. When you play, everyone loves you. When you stop, you're... Hello?
I'm sure it's not quite like that, Jax.
Jackie shakes uncontrollably.
Look at this. Music. Movement.
Mrs. Dupre starts to cry.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Stop crying.
Jackie hands her a present.
For you.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. That's nothing you said. It's your father. He's rather ill. They think it might be Parkinson's disease. I tried to keep it from you, but I think it's best you knew.
Miracle. Just when everybody's paying attention to me. Everybody listening to me. He upstages me. Parkinson's disease, I ask you.
Worried, Mrs. Dupre stares at her daughter. Now with a frail, trembling hand, Jackie puts on a record and turns the volume up. Jackie sits beside the record player, staring morosely at her cello and her yellow dress. With painful exertion, she flops her hand out and turns the volume up again. The yellow dress rustles lightly in the wind. The cello strings glisten. Jackie starts to weep, anger and loss etched on her face. She heaves her arm out again to bump the needle off the record. Now a TV weather forecast with Michael Fish.
Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't. But having said that, actually, the weather will become very windy.
Pelted with falling leaves, Hilary and Kiffer take some furniture safely indoors. Inside the apartment, Daniel tries to restrain Jackie as she convulses, flailing her arms around wildly. A man in a suit approaches.
I don't understand what she wants. I think she's in some sort of pain.
The man sits at her bedside and takes her hand.
There are things you want to say, and I can see that. But you cannot say them, or we cannot understand them. But there is someone who hears your thoughts. Do not worry. God hears them all. He hears your every thought.
Jackie throws a tray aside. Hilary suddenly wakes up. She sits up and looks around. Now Dame Margot opens the door of her flat to Hilary and peers.
Yes.
Oh, it's Hilary. Jacqueline's sister.
Oh, I see.
It's my brother, Piers.
Hello.
Isn't this shocking weather?
Yes.
Dame Margot wanders off.
Well, where's she going?
Hand in hand, Jackie and Piers follow her bemusedly into the drawing room, where a party is in progress. People stand around drinking and chattering. Hilary enters the quiet, darkened bedroom. Daniel looks up. He has one arm round Jackie, a cup in the other. Jackie still convulses, shaking her head and twisting her body. Hilary shuts the door behind her and approaches the bed.
I can't get anything done. I've been trying for days.
Hilary sheds her coat and sits at Jackie's bedside. She lays a hand on Jackie, who convulses more frantically.
Can I try?
Daniel looks anxiously at Jackie and puts the cup down on the bedside table. He waves a hand resignedly and, holding Jackie's wrist, slips himself away from her, releasing her when he reaches a safe distance. Jackie's hand punches the air wildly. Hilary gingerly grabs it, slides an arm behind Jackie's head and cradles her, pinning her flailing hand to her body. Daniel leaves the room. Jackie still jerks her head as if trying to escape, as Hilary holds her close and reaches for the cup.
Got to where I want you now. Come on.
Hilary raises the spout of the baby cup to Jackie's lips and tips some of the milky drink into her mouth.
Still in there somewhere then, Jax?
Hilary lays the cup aside, shifts round, freeing Jackie's arms, and cradles her head in her arms. Hilary brushes the hair away from Jackie's face to look at her.
Still in there somewhere?
Hilary picks up the cup and lifts it again to Jackie's lips. Jackie drinks.
Good girl. Good girl.
Hilary places the cup to one side.
When you love someone, You find that pictures of them stay with you all the time in your heart. They're pictures of the way you think of them when you think of them. With Mummy, it's that day you broke the drum at the BBC. Whenever you think you've lost that person, you start with a picture and then you find them again. Do you want to know what I think of when I think of you? When people say Jacqueline de Prey to me, I think of a day on a beach a long time ago, long before you play the cello, before that Jacqueline de Prey, or this one. And we were playing a game. When I was but 13 or so, I went into a golden land. Kimberozo, Baxi took me by the hand. Over the Orinoco, across the blazing Kalahari Desert, through the untamed grasslands of the veldt, over the steppes, and home.
Jackie has stopped convulsing and become still.
Do you remember what you said to me that day, Jackie? You said that everything was going to be all right.
The two sisters stare deeply into each other's eyes. Jackie's hand moves slightly and touches the fingertips of Hilary's hand. Hilary and Piers drive through a country road, amid the flurry of drifting leaves, past the corpses of fallen trees. The car radio is on.
Hundreds of roads are blocked, and large parts of the rail network are out of action. The Home Secretary is chairing an emergency meeting of ministers to discuss ways of dealing with the emergency. The cellist Jacqueline de Prey has died at her London home. She was 42. Jacqueline de Prey began to learn the cello at the age of 5 and won several awards before rising to the top of her profession. She will be particularly remembered for her performances of Elgar's cello concerto.
Hilary shuts her eyes and lifts a hand to her forehead.
Stop the car, Piers. Stop the car.
Piers stops the car. Hilary again lifts a hand to her forehead and shuts her eyes, fighting back tears. Piers stares ahead, shell-shocked, his bottom lip quivering.
Oh, God! Jackie!
Hill, where are you going?
Going away from the car, she walks magically into the past, up the steps of the music academy, across the dance floor, and onto the beach, a young girl again.
When I was but 13 or so, I went to a golden land. Kimberozo Cotopaxi took me by the hand. Over the Orinoco, across the blazing Kalahari Desert, through the untamed grasslands of the veldt, over the steppes, and home.
They stop and stare at a woman standing at the water's edge, silhouetted against a warm, dusky sky. The young Jackie goes over to the woman, whilst the young Hilary stays put and watches from a distance. The woman is the grown-up Jackie, in her purple fur-lined coat.
What do you want?
Nothing. Just to see you.
Bye.
Jackie.
Young Jackie stops and turns back.
I just wanted to tell you that everything's going to be all right.
The young Jackie turns again and scampers away. Grown-up Jackie gazes at the two young sisters as they hug each other as tight as they can, and an aerial shot shows them as three tiny figures on the vast, empty beach. ITFC audio description was by Adam English.